for a regular sketchup program. Let's see. All right. Hold on, I'll find it. Nobody, hold on. Okay, here we go. All right. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And wherever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his will.
Amen, amen. There is no agenda here, even though I might write down an order of service. The order of service is always yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? Amen, amen. Anybody eating some leftovers? Thanksgiving leftovers still? Yeah, I still got some leftovers, still got some turkey. It's all good stuff. We had like 40 people here for Thanksgiving, which is pretty awesome. Loved it. Thank you for all those that cooked. We anticipated more. Everybody got to go home with a doggy bag because we had a lot more food. So it was awesome. Today I have a short message, but I have a lot of slides, so I'm going to try to roll through as best that I can. And the idea is that we're kind of moving out of Thanksgiving, but we got to stay in the mode of Thanksgiving. We're going to move towards Christmas. And as we continue to move into Christmas, we kind of have to maintain that Thanksgiving and that Thanksgiving way of life. December's going to come in, Advent's going to begin, the countdown's going to start to roll, the pressures are going to start to mount, shopping's going to intensify, lights are going to be popping up everywhere, traffic's going to increase, there's going to be longer lines at the grocery store and the checkout counters. How do we stay focused on what really matters? How do we maintain our peace in the midst of chaos? Paul, who wrote what we just read, is exceptional at being able to stay focused on what really mattered. To keep the main thing, he was exceptional and very good at that. He's writing to a family. He's writing to a fellowship of believers. He has never even been there. But they know that they have respect for him. And he has great admiration for them and for their faith. And so he writes and instructs and encourages them in this letter. And this family, this fellowship at Colossae, or you could say Colossae if you so desire, at Colossae, they're mostly Gentiles. They're not Jewish. They're mostly Gentiles. Yet they're under increased pressure to conform to Jewish law, and conform to even more rules and more regulations that are being passed down or presented to them that they must do. Things like, well, you're going to have to become Jewish before you can become a Christian. And Paul's just writing very simply, very plainly. He's saying, if you have Jesus, you have all you need. If you have Jesus, you have all you need. And really, this entire chapter teaches us how to live in Christ. Very practical, very useful, very instructive. And as a matter of fact, he lays down in some of the previous verses, listen, if you're looking for things to do or things to avoid. If you need a list, how about this list? Avoid these things. Avoid sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. How about ridding yourselves of all anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language and lies? You're worried about becoming a Jew? Why don't you rid yourself of these things? You see where he's getting? Paul's saying, you're a new creation in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. All that stuff is dead. You are dead to your former way of trying to earn it. You're dead to your former way of trying to jump through all these hoops. Jesus is all you need. There's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no circumcised or uncircumcised. All are free in Christ. All are free in Christ. You are free in Christ. I hope that's coming through loud and clear. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it. You cannot earn it, and you certainly do not deserve it. Jesus did it all. And listen, if all you do is sit around and think about all the evil stuff not to do, all you're doing is sitting around thinking about evil stuff. Do you hear that? It's like, here's your next slide. It's like, hey, don't think about pink elephants. Don't think about pink elephants. Please do not mention pink elephants. Do not gaze upon pink elephants. Do not imagine pink elephants. Do not talk about pink elephants. Do not engage any pink elephants. They are to be ignored. Pink elephants are sinful. If you think about pink elephants too much, you're going to go to hell. Pink elephants will lead you to idolatry. Pink elephants will lead you to places that are unholy. So for heaven's sake, please do not think about pink elephants, because pink elephants will lead you to the wrong place. So do not think about pink elephants. You think about pink elephants way too much. See, this is a fundamental problem of engaging sin avoidance. A fundamental problem in engaging sin avoidance. We occupy ourselves with sin. We occupy ourselves with ways to avoid it. We think about it. We entertain it. We poke at it. We walk around it. We mess with it around it on all the fringes, and we come up close. We constantly are bombarded with it anyway. It's always before you. It's all around us. It's what we think about. Whether we engage it or not, there it is. Pink elephants, there they are. Terrorists win because we think about terrorists and terrorism. Evil wins because all we do is sit around and think about evil. All day we talk about evil and evil and evil. And what are we thinking about? Evil. What not to do. But Paul is clearly saying, you're free. You're free from all of that influence. You're free from all of that nonsense. He also would write, and because of all that nonsense, the wrath of God is coming. So all we're doing is sitting around thinking about why the wrath of God is coming. And we talk about evil all day, every day. And because of this, the wrath of God is coming. And we know this. And so we think about pink elephants, and we talk about pink elephants all day, every day. Have you not taken off your old self? Have you not disrobed from all of that that which you were and clothed yourself now with who you are, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved? Clothe yourselves rather with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. It sounds like these are the things we are to be engaged in. These are the things we should be talking about. These are the things we should be setting our hearts on, things above, not on things of this earth. And man, do we talk about this earth a lot. Man, do we talk about pink elephants a lot. Man, do we talk about sin a lot. You say you're avoiding sin, but all you do is talk about all the ways the wrath of God is coming. Man, I'm telling you, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Just doing that alone is going to take a lifetime. So, if we're going to do this, I had some things that I wanted to help us that we might be able to implement into our own lives. And because Paul's very practical. So, here's your first one. Let's be a thinking people. We're going to think. And you're going to think about pink elephants. You're going to think about sin. You're going to think about the wrath of God. You're going to think about all the stuff that's in the world. You're going to think about it. There's no question about it. But if you're going to think about it, think prayer. Think prayer. Do not be anxious about anything. Which thing are we supposed to be anxious about? Nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. Those are powerful words. And then it says, in everything. Which thing? Everything. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray without ceasing. You think without ceasing? Well, Lord, I don't know how to pray without ceasing. How do you want to do that? Well, how do you think without ceasing? That's how you do it. See, to keep you from too much worry, pray. To keep God in control over your life, pray. To make the load upon which you're carrying lighter, pray. To build relationship with God, pray. To gain that which you desire in your own life to be fulfillment, pray. To understand how your enemy attacks you and cuts you down and puts you, pray. To resist temptations, pray. To know what God wants of you, pray. And every once in a while, I would encourage you to do a shot. What? Yeah, do a shot. Yeah, this is a church where we do shots. We do prayer shots, right? Yeah. I'd encourage you every once in a while, do a prayer shot. Shout out a prayer to somebody. Yeah. Don't be long-winded. Make it short, simple. A little one-ounce prayer. Isn't that a shot, 1 ounce? A little one-ounce prayer. Bam! Lord, give me guidance. Lord, help my friend. Jesus, I need a peace of mind. As a matter of fact, Lord, I don't need a piece of your peace. I need the whole thing of peace in my life. And prayer is a two-way street. It's nice to have a wonderful prayer time where you just continue to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Listen. Stop. Listen. Here comes some of the problems. We do not take captive our thought. We start thinking about pink elephants, or we start thinking about lunch, and we lose our focus really, really quick. And the only way I can tell you to get better at that is to practice. Practice. Practice taking control of your thoughts. Practice. You can practice prayer with, Pastor, can I come pray with you? Absolutely. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. Pray when you're alone. Pray out loud. Practice real simple prayer shots. You don't have to be grandiose and theological. Just pray from your heart. Lord, help me get out of your way. Amen. Lord, have your way today. Amen. And see, listen, before you can ever be good at something, like, you know, oh, I couldn't possibly pray like the pastor. I don't know all those. Before you can ever be good at anything, you have to be bad. Am I right? Just look at everybody up here that's playing a musical instrument. Before they could ever be good, they had to be bad. But before they could be bad, what has to happen? They have to try. They have to try. They have to try. They have to try, and they're bad. And here's what happens. People try, and they're bad, and they stop. They never get through bad to be good. They just go, I'm bad at that. I'm like, no, you're trying. And that's good, because trying leads to good. Practice, practice, practice. And then think worship, ready? Think worship. If we're going to be a thinking people, think worship. Worship has a way of moving us into a place of gratefulness and thankfulness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. It's difficult to be grumpy with praise on your lips. It's difficult to be angry when you're singing joy to the world. Think worship. It's hard to be cranky when there's peace deep-seated in your heart, when you know the reason for the season. Singing lifts our spirits. Praise focuses our attention. Worship aids us in honoring Him. And listen, if you don't get the sense of honor and glory and praise and adoration and gratitude and thankfulness when you worship Him, you might be doing something wrong. I think I might know. Sometimes it's as simple as this. You might be too aware of the others that are around you, and it affects your self-conscious. Ever been there? If you know what I'm talking about, you think about what people are thinking about and how they're thinking about you when you raise your hands or when you kneel or when you come to the altar or when you're sitting and everybody else is standing, but you're in a place of worship. And you somehow through this consciousness, somehow through this awareness of what's around you, or even the distraction that's around you, you manipulate your worship to God based on the potential judgment of someone else. Did you get that? And the terrorist wins. And the terrorist wins. It's influenced and infected and affected your worship because you're thinking about what other people are thinking about. When you really need to be thinking about what you're thinking about. But you're all thinking about what other people are thinking about. And all I can say is you're thinking way too much. Think about worship. Think about God. Think about honoring Him. See, what ends up happening is if you don't take control of your own thinking, you get distracted by your own thoughts. You're your own distraction. And you're thinking about what other people are thinking about, and I can promise you, they're not thinking the same things as you. They're not. Or they're thinking about you, worried about what they're thinking about them. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're sort of be thinking what I'm thinking, and I shouldn't be thinking. Song's over, worship's done, sit down. You lost it all. You lost the moment. Melinda tells me all the time, she knows, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I should put a different dress on. You're thinking I should put different shoes on. You're thinking I should put a different shirt on. And listen, I'm a married man. You're talking about clothes on. I'm thinking about getting your clothes off. Romantic, biblical love. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying. We're not thinking the same things. You think you know what I'm thinking, but your thinking is incorrect about what I'm thinking. And yet your thinking influences you based on, manipulated by, what someone else may be thinking. What influences your worship? Truly, how do you feel? It's not about decreasing all the distractions. It's about increasing your focus. It's about taking control of this precious mental cavity that you have in your mind. Your self-conscious becomes self-generated, and you become self-imaginative. And it was never a thing, but didn't you die to self? Self-control, what is that? Is that just for the action or the thought? And if you're going to think, because you're going to think, here's your next one, think good things. Prayer and worship and think good thoughts. If you're going to think and dwell on something and it's pink elephants and sin, change your thought processes. Think about something good. Let your mind settle on that which is good. Our thoughts can be so very uncooperative. Uncooperative if we don't reel them in. I struggle many times with low self-esteem and what could I have been? How could I could go down that road and just hate me. Take our minds to places we shouldn't go and say things to ourselves that God never says about you. We can become unproductive in our thoughts and our nagging money problems, troubled and freaked out friends and physical ailments. And oftentimes, these are the points that bring you to the point of prayer. So now you're going right back to the very beginning. Let's pray. Pray about that which you are anxious. Worship God, and you'll see these things melt away. And before you know it, you're focused on all that which is good. And you're speaking only of that which is good. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Well, if there's going to be lots of thinking going on, I know that there's going to be lots of talking going on. So there's your next one. We're going to be a talking people. We're going to have to be a talking people. And so if you're going to talk, you might as well praise God. If you're going to speak, you might as well praise God. Praise the Lord openly, amongst family, regardless of what's around you, regardless of what other people might think about what you're doing and how you're praising and how you're honoring and how you're glorifying and how you're speaking. Praise the Lord verbally, sing out loud, recite scriptures. Are you grateful to the Lord? Tell him. Are you grateful to the Lord? Tell him. Tell him now. Are you grateful to the Lord? Tell him. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is this too weird for you? Tell him now. I'm thankful, Lord, that you got me through Thanksgiving. I'm thankful there's shoes on my feet. I'm thankful I got glasses I can see. Am I the only one? Thank him. Praise him. Glorify him right now. You do it. Anybody else? Right here, right now. Are you worried about what other people are thinking? Are you worried about what other people are thinking? I praise you, Lord, in your house. I glorify you this very day. I honor you. I thank you for all that you've done. Am I the only one? That's all you got? That's all you got? I'm the only one? Oh, my goodness gracious. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Anybody speaking his praises? Can you speak his praises that I might hear you? Can you praise his name? Can you glorify his name? Praise be to God. I'm thankful for your son. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus washing my sins away. I'm grateful there's money in the bank and food on my table. I'm thankful there's a house full of people that love me and I love them. Is that all you got? That's all you got there. That's all you got? You know you love him. Say it. Tell him. Glorify his name. Praise the name of Jesus. The house is filled with the praises of his people. Do you know this? Do you know this? Father, we love you. We glorify and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Sing it out, church. Come on. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Lift him up. Lift him up. Glorify. I don't care what you think about me. I know my God is honored. I know my God is to be praised from my mouth. Just bathe in his presence. You bask in the glory of the praise of God. This is a great place to be. We love you, Lord. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for a place we can gather. Glory to your name, Lord. There is no name higher. Reconcile and restore. rehabilitate. Praise the name of Jesus in his house today. There's glory in the house of the Lord. And are you ready? Listen. Behold the power you possess to bring praise into the house, to bring praise into your house. You can bring anger, you can bring bitterness, you can bring resentment and unforgiveness, but you can bring praise and honor and glory and love and harmony and unity. You choose this day whom you will serve. It's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. We will praise him openly. Openly. If you're going to praise God, one of the ways in which you can bring praise to God, are you ready? Are you ready? This is your next slide, by the way. Are you ready? Praise others. Praise others. Praise others. Encouraging others. Encouraging others. Encouraging others in the way in which they serve and honor God. Encouraging them along their path. Even when they stumble. Even when they fall. Even when they fail. Even when they walk away. Encourage them. Love them. See, that's the essence of just dog them. You just dog them. You just love them. You just pursue them. You just care for them. You just pray for them consistently. When is God going to stop caring about you? That's the moment you can stop caring about others. Praising others. When was the last time you said thank you to the waitress with joyfulness in your heart instead of complaining that the potato salad was too warm? Or your spouse for cooking a meal or folding your clothes or washing your clothes or making the bed or sweeping the floor or washing the cars or taking the trash out. When you praise others, you bring joyfulness into the world. And you set a tempo for your family. You set a tempo for those that are around you. I'm so proud of you, son, for the things that you've done and the directions that you're going to go. You do that. You create an atmosphere of thankfulness. You create the atmosphere of love. Other people are going to try just as difficult and just as hard to try to create an atmosphere that is ugly, that is divisive, that is argumentative, that is always the other side. You start talking right wing, they're going to talk left wing. You start talking white meat, they're going to talk duck meat. They're just going to do that. And how are you going to respond? How are you going to react? How are you going to encourage? You generate the love that's in the room. And that's the power that you possess because you are amazing. You're amazing. God has done this for you. You. This is how much he thinks of you. How amazing you are. And if we're going to think good thoughts and we're going to talk encouraging and praiseful ways, we're going to have to start acting a certain way. And this is going to require action on our part. Yes. That's your next one. You're going to have to just like act, right, a certain way. And what is that? Well, that's service. It's service. This is, requires action. It's a way of life. What is your way of life? Do you have a way of life? Or does life just bop you around from one place to the next place and you're getting hit from all sides? You haven't taken even control of your life. You think life is controlling you. This goes way beyond just thinking and talking. This requires action on your part. Service is at the heart of gratitude. It's kind of that demonstration of appreciation and respect and love. My wife this past week, a few days ago, just hung up on my bathroom mirror a card. It just said, "You're amazing." That's all. Just that I was surprised in the morning. I said, you're amazing. Well, thank you, honey. Thank you. See, when you serve correctly, your life is blessed for the service. See, our lives are blessed when we serve. Our lives are blessed when we serve. It's not just those we serve. Our lives are blessed when we serve. You always get more than you give when you serve. To serve shows the deepest respect. To serve shows the greatest love. And to serve is to be the greatest. This is what Jesus would say. Who amongst you will be the greatest? Oh, I'm the strongest. I'm the smartest. I can go the fastest. I'm the least of all of these. The ones that serve shall be the greatest. You want to be great in the eyes of God? Serve others. Encourage others. Your life sings praises to God in service to others. And this often will involve sacrifice. It always does. Actions require sacrifice. The giving of ourselves. That's your next one, by the way. The giving of ourselves, the touches, the real close to home, especially when you start talking about money. We always think sacrifice of our treasure. It's not supposed to hurt there, but it does oftentimes. For many, it does, because money has become their God. Their acts of service are for money, not for God. And God blesses you that you might be in service to others, not in service to money. You with me? Christ made some big sacrifices for you. Are you making any for him? How do we live generously? There's your next one. Action requires a generosity, a sense of being generous, generous with our time. Generous with our talents. These people up here that are giving their talents, and people that are vacuuming the floors, and giving of themselves, and giving of their time, and giving of their talents. And oftentimes it's a sacrifice. I could be home watching college football, but I'm here vacuuming the sanctuary. And God honors that and rewards that. And listen, generosity, your generosity is much more about faith than it ever is about money. If you're going to live a life that is fulfilled and fulfilling and is a thanks-living kind of life, then you really need to understand that it's not just about amount when it comes to money. It's about proportion. And then it's about being thankful in the moments that are struggling. It's about lying in a hospital bed, struggling to breathe, and you can find ways to praise God that someone's there holding your hand. It's being generous with your thoughts and your time and your ambitions and your ideas, which are not supposed to be yours because you've died to self. This is all God working in you and through you. And God revealing himself to you and to those that are around you. We will be overflowing with grace towards others. We will be generous with our mercy. We'll be generous with our compassion. I hope you get this. The Lord gave this to me last night. I'm trying to wind down. The Lord gave it to me this last night, and I'm trying to put it together right. But many of us are more compassionate, more forgiving, more loving to our pets than we are to human beings. The Lord just, boom. I'm telling you, the Lord sees this. We're a more compassionate, forgiving, understanding, loving, merciful, graceful to our pets, to animals, than we are to human beings. And see, the imagery wasn't far off, because the imagery was, you know, your pets, they smell up the house. Your pets leave hair all over the furniture. Your pets scratch up the armchair. Your pets pee in the bedroom, and they poop in the living room. And we're compassionate and gracious and forgiving and understanding towards our pet. but I don't have any for a human being. I know you got it. And the Lord knows you have it. But where do you dispense it? Where do you distribute it? I know you're full of grace towards your pet, but not towards my neighbor. I know you're full of compassion towards your pet, but not the guy who needs, you know, a granola bar on the corner. Are you sure you're living as a chosen people? Are you sure you're thinking as God would want you to think, with your mind set on things above, not on the earthly things? I cried when the Lord gave me that. You can see it, right? You can see the truth in it. Oh, man. And I know it's just it's a stab in my own heart. I can't even begin to imagine what it does to the Lord. When he observes that he's given you all of this and you give it away to the animal. When there's nothing for the human created in his image. It's a holiday tune. I hear you, Lord. Is this another vision? Show me some more, Lord. Hey, listen, as we move through the holiday season, let's try to think, prayer, and worship. Think about prayer and worship. Let's talk. Talk. Let's not be afraid to praise God. Let's not be afraid to raise your hands or kneel down or speak out loud. Let's not be afraid to do that because you're busy thinking about what other people might be thinking and they're not thinking about you. Let's not be afraid to act with our actions of service, sacrifice, and generosity. That's living as God's chosen people. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to just be here in this place this day. Father, you filled this house with emotion. You filled this house with praise. You filled this house with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I pray, Father, as we would go from this place, we would go different than the way in which we entered. We would go out inspired by you, filled with you, refreshed by you, encouraged by you, that we would walk and talk strong for you, that our lives would be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power to bring honor and glory and come before you in the name of your Son. Amen.